On this episode of Still Loading, lateral thinking of withered technology. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome to this episode of Still Loading. Just a little bit of a preface, I am getting over a cold, so if I sound a little bit more nasally than I normally do, that's why, so I apologize in advance, but I didn't want to go another week without an episode. So today's episode is on an industry legend, Gunpei Yokoi. Gunpei Yokoi is known for many things, but what he is most famous for is the creation of the Nintendo Game Boy. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about his background. Yokoi was born on September 10, 1941 in Kyoto, Japan. He earned a degree in electronics from Doshisha University and then began working for Nintendo shortly thereafter in 1965. At the time, Nintendo wasn't really in the toy or video game business. They were still primarily focused on producing Hanafuda cards, which are a type of playing cards from Japan. He was originally hired to maintain their manufacturing equipment that produced the cards, but by the mid-1960s, that market had started to decline. He worked numerous jobs over the next 5 years, including working as a janitor for a little while. During his free time, he started tinkering with machine parts and ended up creating what is now known as the Ultra Hand. This was essentially an extendable arm toy that could reach out and grab objects from a short distance away. This would be his first big success and made him a standout to the higher-ups at Nintendo. With one of those one-in-a-million chances, his invention caught the eye of the president of Nintendo, Hiroshi Yamauchi. Nintendo was looking to expand its business beyond that of the playing card industry, and Yamauchi believed that Gunpei's new invention was the best bet for them to start the changing of the gears. Yokoi agreed and spent more time improving it and making it ready for the market. The end result was the Ultra Hand, which ended up selling 1.2 million units. Nintendo was now in the toy business. The success of the Ultra Hand resulted in moving Yokoi from the assembly line into research and development. From there, he continued to design more successful toys for Nintendo, including the Ultra Scope, which was a periscope for children, the Ultra Machine, which pitched baseballs so kids could bat them away, the Chiritori, but this was a remote-controlled vacuum cleaner, and he created many more things. One of the most important toys that he helped invent was the Beam Gun. Yokoi teamed up with future industry veteran Masayuki Uemura to create the Beam Gun, which worked on light-detecting solar cell technology. This toy eventually would become the NES Zapper. The way it worked is the gun would shoot a beam of light, and if the player hit the light target correctly, then the toy would react. With all of these successes, Yokoi was now working almost entirely with electronic toys, and this focus on electronics brought him to creating Nintendo's first products to enter them into the video game industry. In the mid-1970s, Nintendo was ready to stick their feet into the video game industry. Yokoi was put in charge of Nintendo's Research and Development 1 department, which focused on handheld games. One day while traveling on a train, Yokoi noticed a businessman fooling around on his LCD calculator, trying to pass the time during the ride. This gave him an idea to create a handheld with an LCD display. At the time, the parts to make calculators were fairly inexpensive, so Yokoi decided to see if he could find a way to use them to make a handheld. This type of design philosophy of using, as he called it, withered technology would come to define Gunpei Yokoi's career. He called his philosophy lateral thinking of withered technology. The idea of this philosophy was to take mature technology that was easily understood and repurpose it and find new and exciting ways to use it. With this in mind, Yokoi created the Game & Watch series. The handheld wasn't just a video game, it also served as a watch, hence the name. There were approximately 60 titles released in the series. Each one featured one game. Each LCD screen was printed with one static scene on it, and small objects would appear on that screen that the player could manipulate. To achieve this and keep the small handheld uncluttered, Yokoi created the D-pad. This is arguably one of the most important inventions in the history of video games. Almost every single major console since the Game & Watches have used this design in some way for their controllers. The Game & Watch series continued to be successful in Japan, and Yokoi continued to innovate on them while assisting in small capacities with other projects. He was a producer for the original Donkey Kong game, but not much else is said about his contribution to that game other than that. The Game & Watch series started to incorporate tabletop games as well as dual-screen releases. These dual-screen games are very early predecessors to the Nintendo DS and 3DS. By the early 80s, Nintendo was getting ready to launch its first home video game console, and so they called on Yokoi and his team to come up with a gimmick to help sell it. The result was the Robotic Operating Buddy, also known as ROB. For those who listened to my Gaming Gimmicks episode, you may remember about how this little robot helped Nintendo break into the US market. For those who haven't, well, hint hint, give it a listen. But not only did he create ROB, but him and his team also developed two of the most influential games to ever be released, Metroid and Kid Icarus. Now, I could go into more detail about these two games, but those will be topics for future episodes. We now move on to his most famous achievement, the Nintendo Game Boy. The Game & Watch series proved that handheld games were very popular, so Yokoi and his team started working on their next handheld system. They combined the monochromatic visuals of the Game & Watch and combined it with the 8-bit processor of the NES and created the Game Boy. The Game Boy had its own cartridges to allow the ability to make numerous games for the console. At the time, Nintendo could have implemented a color screen that was backlit. After all, Sega's response to the Game Boy was the Game Gear, and that handheld was in color and backlit. However, that technology was expensive, and to keep aligned with his philosophy of lateral thinking with weathered technology, Yokoi decided to keep the screen monochromatic. By using this older tech, the Game Boy had a longer battery life than most of its competitors. The Game Gear only had 3-5 hours of battery life compared to the Game Boy, which had 15-30 hours of battery life. This lateral thinking also helped with the price point. The Game Boy was only $90 on release compared to the Game Gear's $150. All of these things contributed to Game Boy's massive success, all of this due to Yokoi's design philosophy. Not only did Yokoi and his team design the Game Boy, but they also developed some of the most popular games on the console, Super Mario Land and Dr. Mario. However, this streak of success was about to come to a close. In 1995, Nintendo released the successor to the Game Boy, another console created by Gunpei Yokoi. This console was called the Virtual Boy, and is now known as one of the greatest flops in video game history. The Virtual Boy was essentially a set of goggles that had its own stand that you would perch it on. The user would wear the goggles, and the screen inside was supposed to create a feeling of virtual reality, but it really just gave the user a headache and made their eyes tired. The way it worked is that two separate LED screens would project at each eye, which created a 3D effect, but this wasn't true 3D. Additionally, the only color the LED screens projected in was red. When experimenting using a color screen, Yokoi said, "We experimented with a color LCD screen, but the users did not see depth, they just saw double. Color graphics give people the impression that the game is high tech, but just because the game has a beautiful display does not mean it is fun to play. Red uses less battery, and red is easier to recognize. That is why red is used for traffic lights." The console was marketed as a handheld, but you couldn't really take this with you wherever you like you could the Game Boy. It was uncomfortable to play with, and you really needed a table to sit at where you could set up the Virtual Boy on its stand. In the end, the system only sold 770,000 units worldwide, and it was discontinued in less than a year. This failure hurt Yokoi's reputation with Nintendo, even though he had provided over 2 decades worth of success for them. Shortly after that, on August 15, 1996, Yokoi resigned from Nintendo. Thank you. After leaving Nintendo, he created his own company called Koto Laboratory. He went right back to working in video games. He oversaw the development of a new handheld console for Bandai called the WonderSwan. Yokoi was challenging Nintendo. Sadly, Yokoi would never see the result of his work with Bandai. On October 4th, 1997, Gunpei Yokoi was involved in a minor traffic accident with another man, Etsuo Kiso of Nintendo. When the two got out of their cars to assess the damage, they were both struck by another car. Yokoi passed away in the hospital later that day. I know that was kind of a sad way to end this episode, but let's reflect on the impact Gunpei Yokoi made on the game industry. He practically made handheld gaming a viable business, not just for Nintendo, but for so many other developers and manufacturers. His creation of the D-pad is still used today. His Game & Watch series is not just the predecessor for the Game Boy, but also influenced the design of the Nintendo DS and 3DS. He helped create memorable games such as Metroid and Super Mario Land. He created a lot, and he brought so many people happiness with his creativity and technical skill. He may not be here anymore, but I'd like to think he's still influencing game designers today. Thanks for listening to this episode of Still Loading. If you liked the episode, please rate and subscribe to the show. If you didn't, please give me some feedback. I'm always wanting to improve to make this show the best I possibly can. If you want to follow me in my random shenanigans, you can reach me at Twitter, at StillLoadingPod, all one word, of course, or on Facebook, also at StillLoadingPod. Thank you once again for listening, and I will see you all in 2 weeks for another episode. Until then.